What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kimmel Nigerica podcast. It's your girl, Savay, a.k.a. the T-Lil Youngin, a.k.a. the OK Gangster. I'm a freshman audio production major studying at the illustrious Howard University, and today I am accompanied by my beautiful friends.
Hi, I'm Lin Yang Tenjin. I am a senior TV film major at Howard University.
Hey, guys, I'm Vicky, a freshman nursing major from Maryland, by the way, Minnesota, also going to Howard University.
And today we are going to be discussing the ways in which Black artists address issues associated with gender and race and how they reflect their experiences through their work.
And it's all under the umbrella of a genre we all know and love.
Hip-hop. Okay, so to give a little backstory, a couple of weeks ago, our class traveled to Hartford, Connecticut to Trinity College to witness the International Hip-Hop Festival. While braving the cold, we got to experience all five elements of hip-hop.
DJing, MCing, breakdancing, graffiti, and knowledge.
Exactly. And during our stay, we got the opportunity to interview two amazing artists and ask them about how their journey of being Black in the music industry shaped their mindset and how they wanted to present themselves to the world.
All right, so picture it. April 5th, 2024. We sat down to conversate with Mr. James Topp, a graffiti pioneer who hails from the Big Apple, NYC, a tall, seasoned man who loves to spread wisdom and let everyone know about his come up from the streets of New York.
I asked James about his transition from being a street graffiti artist to now being an art consultant. Let's hear James' response.
You know, people want to work with you. And this is always when you're on an upswing and when you're doing good, boy, you got people coming to you from all over the place. And so, you know, I pick and choose the institutions that I consult for and the education institution that I consult for, and they ask me about my strengths. Hey, we want to try to get our students involved with graffiti art. They want to learn it and so forth and so on. And what I do is I provide them with a curriculum and a timeline and different course on doing the program, the workshop. Some people have an idea working with me and their students be for 6 months. Some people just want a workshop, which could be for one day and 4 or 5 hours. But the thing about it is that they go write a check. So I could take a short check. I could take a long check. I don't take late checks it's also important too who you work with, because some people try to drain your energy and they never even trying to fulfill what the contract is, because they shady already anyway. Try to work with reputable people who got a reputation, they got a stake in mind with as far as maybe even the community is concerned. All money ain't good money. I can't take money from everybody. I can only take money from certain people, because taking money from everybody gets you in trouble. And being an art consultant, not only for schools, nonprofit organizations, for-profit organizations, galleries and everything, and when you become successful and you establish yourself as someone who is good in your profession, people are going to want to work with you from all over the world. And, you'll go from working with not so rich clients to clients that have unlimited resources and things of that nature.
Afterwards, I asked James a sort of two-part question. I asked him, did you ever feel as though a piece you've done directly reflected your experiences as a Black man, or have you ever received direct criticism that you believed was fueled by the consumer's perception of you being a Black man? That's kind of a loaded question. Let's hear James' response.
I appreciate that question, sister. And I love questions like this, and you get so deep. And if you guys have seen my artwork, very Afrocentric. The Afros that I do, those are my signature pieces, and like I said, I get an opportunity to express how I feel, how I feel about things happening in the world. And, I've been through so many trials and tribulations because I am black, but it's the same as a lot of other black men as well. Being black, you already know what time it is. Mm-hmm. First thing you think about when you don't get the job, yeah, they ain't give it to me because I was black. Or if something bad happens, yeah, they fired me because I was black. You know, that's the first thing. I'm proud to be black. I'm glad I was born black. Motherfuckers told me, oh, if you was white man, you would be successful. I'm successful as a black man.
Yes, sir.
And as far as the criticism is concerned, when you are an artist, you are critiqued. Mm-hmm. I've been involved with 400 art exhibits. I've been critiqued. Critique is kind of short for criticism. Mm-hmm. It's in that same root family. Mm-hmm. To criticize, to critique. So whenever you hang your stuff on a wall and say this is it, or you create a song and you put it out, criticism comes with it. But this is the good part of criticism. They're telling you what they don't like and what's wrong, and depending on who it is. Like, I don't accept criticism from everybody. Some people are not qualified to criticize me because, yeah, I'm doing my thing and I'm on a certain level. And it's usually the people that ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. It's always the ones that's criticizing. Mm-hmm. And you know where I love my haters? Because they tell me what I need to fix in my artwork, my presentation, or life, you know. Hopefully I wear the right clothes to go to this place. Nobody criticizing what I'm wearing. With my artwork, if I get a little sloppy and I thought I was going to get old one and somebody peeped it. And so I make sure I improve what they don't like. I use the criticism to make my art better and to make me better. Criticism is good. Don't take it so personal all the time. Flip that switch. There's a switch. Flip it. Turn it around. Do not let nobody bring you down. Those head is heavy that wears the crown. Wear your crown.
Mr. Top is a really talented and nice man who gave a very inspirational talk and a little backstory about his life. Now we're going to shift gears. On Saturday night, after witnessing an amazing concert featuring MCs from all different backgrounds, one of them being Mai the Don, Big Don, we got the chance to interview one of the hosts of the event, who goes by the name of Jupiter, an up-and-coming MC from Brooklyn, New York, by the way of Guyana, South America. The first question we posed to Jupiter was, what was an experience in your life that made you realize, I want to do music? Here's what she had to say.
So, like, I used to, like, write poems in, like, third grade. And in, like, fourth grade, there was this thing. We had to do, like, a performance outside. And they originally had two guys doing it. And then, like, I heard them perform. And I was like, I could definitely do better than one of them. So, like, I volunteered or whatever. I was like, can I try? And I made some rhymes. And from then, I've just been, like, doing poems and poems over beats and raps and songs, those type of things.
After the fact, Vicky posed the question, what does being a woman in the industry mean to you?
It means a lot, honestly, and I'm just thankful for, like, the Hartford community, especially because they're so inclusive and they're always, you know, encouraging everyone to show up. It doesn't matter what gender you are, but it really is always important to, you know, stand up for women and continue to show, like, young girls that it's important that we do have a spot in hip-hop, and we're always trying to implement more and more diverse ways of looking at things and just, like, inclusivity. Making sure that we still have a stance and we're still saying our piece and getting our voice.
Then I posed the question, how would you describe your sound and what makes you stand out from other artists?
I think, like, a big thing that I do, especially my raps, is that, like, I don't curse. So it's important to, like, whatever you're really trying to get across in general, you know, that you're able to just, like, express that without having to use any profanity. I do make some songs about, like, love, about God, just, like, my own experiences. So I'm just always keeping it real in that sense. And I think that, like, being from Brooklyn and just seeing things from a lot of different perspectives, now being a social worker, I think that, like, I'm implementing all of these things that, like, I experience, or, like, even just telling stories through other people's, like, experience. I feel like that really is what helps me, like, you know, find my voice and stand out as an artist. I'm really just always here to have fun, try to implement some sort of, like, sarcasm and, like, humor in my rap, so. Yeah.
And even you saying that you're a social worker, like, you do your music, which is great, but you also, you know, you're rooted in the community and making change, so that's dope in itself.
Yeah. Thank you.
What challenges have you faced as an artist? Like, how did you overcome them?
I would say, honestly, putting myself out there, I think that it's always, like, a little easy to be apprehensive about, like, what do you want people to, like, know? Like, how much of yourself do you want to, like, really put out there? So just, like, being vulnerable and, like, being bold, like, just taking those steps to really be in spaces where, like, you may not think that you belong or, like, you feel like you might not fit in. For me, it was just, like, you know that you can do this. You know that you have the gifts and the talents. How are you going to continue to show that? How are you going to continue to, like, be consistent and, like, go on stages and grab mics and just, like, continue to participate in whatever you feel like you belong in? So I think just, like, one hard thing that I was finding was getting myself to do those things. But now it's a lot easier because, like, I just forced myself to do it. Like, even if you're messing up, like, even if things are not going your way, like, you can still, like, go through and you really can MC with the rest of them, honestly. Yeah.
Now, for most artists, we usually have role models, people we pull inspiration from, you know, people we've given the icon label to. But Jupiter actually had a very interesting answer. So check this out.
You know, that's always a difficult question because, like, I don't necessarily look up to anyone. And I think that, like, I definitely found my own, like, style. Just, like, I don't really listen to a lot of, like, other people's music. But when I do, I guess I would say, like, J. Cole, Kendrick, like, real lyricists, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne. Like, those are people that, like, I guess that I go to.
Yeah. Right.
Last but not least, we asked the big question. Have you ever felt as though the way you identify in terms of gender has affected the way you are perceived by the audience? Here's how Jupiter tackled that one.
I think it's such a weird thing because I honestly want to say that it's kind of like people have lower expectations for you as a woman. Not to diss any artists that are out now, but I think that, like, media and society is always, like, pushing this kind of envelope, what does it mean to be a woman in these industries? And it's like, I don't really attach myself to that necessarily, so I feel like people are always kind of shocked when I actually have something good to say or I have a message to really give. I think that, I don't know, it's kind of like, as much as people have lower expectations, like, they're very much impressed when you're actually, like, spitting. And they're always, like, hyper-focused and paying attention. So it's, like, I kind of use their, you know, preconceived ideas about what it means to, like, be a woman in rap and, like, just try to twist it on them, you know, cause people to think and, like, open up their perspectives on, like, what does it mean to be a woman in rap?
Greatness. Just greatness. So, Moonyoung, Vicky, I got a question for y'all. So, American rap versus African rap. How do you feel about female MCs over here, and even guys, versus MCs over there? So your perception of the two, how do they differentiate? Go.
Okay. So being in this class, I've noticed that the rappers, like the female rappers, like in Africa or in the UK, are more socially conscious. And I'm surprised by that, low-key. Compared to the ones in America where, like, all they rap about is bow, 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 or, like, I took your man, or, you know, something, like, very explicit. Because I was remembering the time when we were in class, I think it was when we were in GW, and Dr. Clark was showing us, like, all these music videos that we would talk about. And I got the assignment, I forgot her name, but she's an artist in South Africa. And, like, she was just talking about her mom or, like, her family, about women being, like, very strong.
And, Dope St. Jude.
Yeah, Dope St. Jude, thank you. Just, like, the message that she was trying to convey to her audience compared to, like, Sexy Red, her new music, what's that song? Bow.
Bow. It's literally like bow, bow, bow.
Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, it's just like slim, thick, super thick. Like, you know, like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm dancing to that song, but like, compared to that, like, what's the message that she's trying to pull? She's just pulling the message, oh, I'm slim, thick, I'm skinny, and I could, you know, dance. Compared to Dope St. Jude, where she's like actually trying to, you know, pull a real, real message. And like, even though they're both like different countries, I feel like in Africa it might be even harder to be more popular, more mainstream. The fact that Dope St. Jude is trying to, you know, have a message to her audience, and like, is she popular, or is she not, like, she's getting there, compared to like Sexy Red, where it's like she's very popular in here. She doesn't really have a message. I mean it's fine, she doesn't have a message, you know, I get that, you just want to dance, I get that, but like, it kind of sucks, you know?
Well, I guess the way that I think about it, it's like, she's mainstream here. Mm-hmm. Dope St. Jude is probably mainstream in South Africa.
Yeah.
And then, like, Little Sims is mainstream in the UK.
Yeah.
Which is why we know about them, you know? So I guess when we're comparing artists, it's like, yes, Sexy Red is, like, at the top of, well, she's on the charts, you know? Dope St. Jude won't be on the charts here because she's, like, on the charts in South Africa. Little Sims is on the charts in the UK. So I guess that's the way I think about it when we compare them. And in America, we're not always
serious.
Yeah.
We're not a serious nation, you know?
Never were, actually.
So, you know.
Actually kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the UK is a serious nation either, you know. We're not saying that at all. But in terms of, like, artistry, I think that when it comes to rap and art in general, it's two completely different arenas.
I agree. They get down. They know what time it is. I feel like a lot, there seem to be more men in mainstream who have a message more than women. And the key word in that was mainstream. Doesn't mean that there are more men or more male-conscious rappers than there are women. That just means there are more lights on male-conscious rappers than women. Because as Moon Young has mentioned to me before, has mentioned to us before, No Name, who's bandwagon I need to get on.
Me too.
Yeah, and then there's
also Tierra Whack, she's not necessarily conscious, but she's just not like,
she's real.
The rap is, I wouldn't look at it as like real or not real, because Sexy Red is real, you know.
Oh, see, yeah.
She's definitely real to her experience. Megan Thee Stallion is very real. I wouldn't question their authenticity.
Right.
Just because they have, like, sexy music, you know, like, City Girls are very real. Miami is so real that she got caught up, So it's like, I wouldn't question their authenticity, but I would say in terms of it being, like, sexual, Tierra Whack, she's not a sexual rapper, but she is someone that I think, like, she'll take you into, like, different kinds of, like, worlds sometimes in the way that she approaches her music.
And I respect it, because sometimes it doesn't even have to be conscious or socially aware. Sometimes we do need that breath of fresh air, because in my personal opinion, the vulgarity, I think that's a word, the vulgarity of lyrics kind of gets to me sometimes. Like, if someone is playing Sexy Red all day, I will actually start pulling my hair out. Like, I can handle a little 1-2, but not like 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah.
Please stop. But sometimes we just need that breath of fresh air. It's like, oh, wow. She's talking about something that's not booty and boobs, you know? So I'm going to reiterate this point that I made in previous conversations. We choose what is mainstream, and we choose what is not. A lot of our generation just hasn't locked into that part of themselves that is aware. A lot of our generation is still stuck in the I want to party. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But also, you know, disc jockeys, radio, they have a say in that too, or at least the people who are telling them what to play. So I feel as though we could do a better job in just giving a little more light to those who are socially conscious. I don't know if it's really going to happen with our generation. It's probably going to be maybe the next one, or maybe the old heads are going to have to come and be like, hey, look, y'all tearing stuff up. We got to change this.
When you were saying that, a mainstream, I also feel like the record company, like the whoever, like the contract company also plays a point.
Talk about it.
Yeah, like if I feel like the company want that artist, especially like female artists, to play a certain persona, and if they don't play that, it's kind of hard for them to get their music out to the world for them to not be for them to even be mainstream. So I feel like not only do like the audience play mainstream, but I also feel like the company and like the record companies also play part into artists being mainstream. So I just want to say that little one part.
Yeah, because advertising, I mean, these people know how to advertise.
Yeah, marketing.
Marketing is heavy. And also, labels have more influence than we even see, or at least in the maybe early 2000s. It's probably still happening now. But there are, I can't think of an example, but there are stories of just people in higher positions telling this artist, you have to keep up this appearance. You can't switch it up. You have to keep this style because it's your thing. You've been coined as this thing. People see you in this sort of attire and you make this sort of music. You know,
I'm thinking of Doja Cat, but
oh yeah,
she kind of like
I said she was always like that.
No, like in her music, like her new album is like mostly like rap. She's not really like singing because her like her last album, Planet whatever, she was singing it, but like she said, okay, I want to do like rap. Like I'm a rap artist. She wanted to like be more identified as a rap artist than compared to like a singer and a rap artist.
I feel that. I feel like there's a difference between completely shifting and kind of just maturing into your calling or what you want to do, how you want to be perceived, you know, because, you know, yeah, I guess Doja Cat is an example. I feel like, you know, she went from Moo and what was that one that blew up? Say So, that type
Say
stuff.
So, oh, yeah.
To what is she doing now? Ouchies. Off their new album. There's a song called Ouchies on there, and it's like, yo. Yeah, so I feel like she kind of just matured in that way. But yeah, that's a good example, and you're definitely right.
I guess for me, I was like, based on what everyone has said, like, there's just, it's a lot of like pieces that go into it. You know, there's the record labels that want the money that push the certain type of artists, and then there's like what goes viral on TikTok, and then the like what goes viral everywhere, and that's what people like hear. And then nowadays people only want to hear what they know. You know, people don't really discover stuff anymore unless it goes viral. So I think there's like a mix of all those things, but I, you know, sometimes it just starts with us. You know, you put on some No Name, get her numbers up, you know, and it doesn't really have to be mainstream. I think that like we can all just choose what we want to listen to at the end of the day, you know.
No, for sure. Also, give Black Country a try. I don't care. Y'all need to. All right, y'all. So that'll be all for the first episode of the Camel Nigerica podcast. I'm Save.
I'm Munyang Tinkin.
And I'm Vicky Otekbami.
And as always, stay Black, stay proud, stay blessed, and good night.